But we do know that life's not without challenges, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So what have been your greatest battles in life?
Yeah. So my biggest battle, I think, was overcoming fear.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote a lot about a big one that so many of us struggle with. And it's just so, it's so crazy because we don't talk a lot about it. And there's not really like, I don't know, like where do you go? Where, if you struggle with anxiety or just like tormenting kinds of fears, and it's like, how do you get help for that?
Hello, welcome to Treasures and Truth with Tokwe. I'm happy that you're here. I'm your host, Dr. Tokwe Kiku. Everyone wants to feel happy and alive, but it's easy to lose hope in this chaotic world. It's so full of problems. Well, this podcast is all about helping you to discover the hidden treasures in your trials so you can renew your confidence and live in freedom. You'll hear inspiring stories from guests as they share their treasures and tips they discovered in their trials. So let me tell you this. If you're going through a difficult season right now and need encouragement, you'll find that support here. And you'll know that you are not alone on this journey called life. So welcome. On the show with me today, we have a special guest. She is a musician, a songwriter, and a recording artist. She's a woman of deep faith, a powerful prophetic voice, and a worship leader. What she does, she helps others to experience the love of God and the majesty of his presence through worship. Through her music, she ministers to help heal hearts and lives. She's also an author of 4 books and a wife and a mom. So please join me in welcoming Susan Baez to the show today. Welcome,
Susan. Thank you.
It's a pleasure to have you here.
It is a pleasure to be with you. Anytime I get to hang out with you, I just love it. So thank you.
Yeah. So as we start this show, I would like for you to just share little known facts about yourself, something that people just generally maybe don't know about you.
Yeah. Well, one thing that I always tell people is that I moved around a lot. And I think when I was growing up, that kind of shaped who I am. I mean, all of our experiences, right, shape who we become. And yes. And knowing, looking back, that it's the Lord just orchestrating all that. And then the next question I get is, were your parents in the military?
So were your parents in the military?
No. No, they weren't. It was just my dad just wanted adventure, I guess. And just, you know, he would get a job offer across the country and we would just go and just move us. And I actually have come to really appreciate that though. In the sense of like, I've noticed that change can be really hard for people. For me, because, you know, we were like 6 months here, you know, a year there, you know, whatever. It was like, we were constantly moving. And so for me, change isn't something that I'm afraid of or that I dread. It's just like, all right. And it's almost in a way, it can be a little bit on the other side too, because after a while, then I'm like, okay, what's next, Lord? Like, you know, like, we've been here for a year.
So you
what's
have that
on?
Sense of adventure.
Yeah. But I do like adventure. And I often say, okay, Lord, I'm ready for an adventure. And we'll go, you know, on a paddleboarding trip or something like that.
So, that's good.
Yeah.
So thank you for sharing a little bit about yourself. Mm-hmm. So how did you come? I know that you are a worshiper, a music leader, and music is a big part of your life. So how did you come to know Jesus?
Yeah. So I grew up in church. I loved music because it was in my family, my household. My dad was a musician and became a worship leader as well, and a songwriter as he came to know the Lord. And so, which happened when I was about 5 years old, my parents, maybe a little younger, but you know, around that time, my parents became believers, and we just went to church, and they got in church, involved in church right away. And I was kind of my parents have three children, and I'm the middle child. Mm-hmm. And so I think I'm very stereotypically the middle child. And so I was always like, you know, yes, I went to church and I loved worship, and that's what kept me in church, you know, was the worship. Mm-hmm. But I remember I always just loved singing with my dad, and that's one of my earliest memories, is him sitting on the couch in our living room at the time, and me being on the floor and just listening to him play. And he would play the song. He played the song from one of the Psalms. And I think that was just very, very formative for me. Mm-hmm. And it was a place of peace, mm-hmm, for me that, you know, I just held on to and loved. And so it wasn't really until I was a believer, I'm sorry, until I was an adult, that I became a believer. I met my husband Tony in Boston, and we got married, and I was pregnant with my first child, and we decided to move from Boston to move to North Carolina, mm-hmm, because it was important for both of us that I stay home, and we couldn't afford Boston on one, yeah, income. So we moved down here. I was 7 months pregnant. I didn't know anybody. We didn't know anyone. You know, Tony didn't have a job yet. We just moved. And knowing now what I know, it's like God was so in that, you know. But right away when we moved here, I was like, we're going back to church. You know, I need church, and I need community, and I need, you know, I just knew I needed something. And so within a few weeks of going back, I just knew I was ready to dedicate my life and just be done with living for myself. And I wanted to live for God.
Wow. So I like what you said about the early years, spending time with your dad, and how he's singing to you, really helped to kind of set that foundation and that love for Jesus. That is special. I especially like what you said about you. That was a place of peace. That was a place of safety and security. And so now you moved to Boston, you met your husband, you got married, and you decided to move back to North Carolina, and you found Jesus. And so that, given that you've always known Jesus from childhood, but when did you commit your life to the Lord?
Yeah, I mean, I was baptized when I was 12, you know, on threat of going to hell if I didn't.
And so you were one of the generations where, you know, it was hell, brimstone, and fire.
Yeah. And but it wasn't real to me. It didn't, you know, it was just whatever. It wasn't really personal. It was more like my parents' faith, you know. And I remember saying that as a teenager, like saying that my parents were very religious, but I was just, you know, doing my own thing. But I think that in that process of just knowing that he was there the whole time, I remember that, like sitting in the church service when I went up front, and it was my worship pastor actually at that church, that she was an amazing woman of God, and she ended up discipling me and encouraging me in worship and all that. But I remember going up front, and she came up to pray for me, and I was just bawling, like thinking, Lord, you were there the whole time, and I just kept turning my back to you, you know, and it just hit me like what I had done to him, you know. But he kept blessing me, and he kept pursuing me. And I love that verse that says it's his kindness that leads to repentance, you know. Yes. It's definitely that, just seeing like all through those years, Lord, that I was rebellious and just wanting to go my own way, you were still so kind to me and still you know, just answering my prayers and, you know, being with me and keeping me safe. I remember in college, oh my gosh, I could have gotten myself into so many, so much trouble on so many occasions. But looking back, just, oh my gosh, that was you, Lord. You protected me. You kept me safe. You know?
Yeah. So you mentioned that intimacy with the Father is a big theme, right? In yes. the music and in your books. Yeah. So can you share a little bit about that journey with us?
Yeah. So, I think, the Lord is just so amazing and he knows what we need. You know, he knows our love language. I was before I did, you know, he knew my love language.
That is so true. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, that's so true.
Yes. And so, so I would dream, I would start having like this early on, even looking back as a child, have these formative dreams that I knew were the Lord speaking to me and just meeting me. And I think through having really good teaching and being around people that were able to disciple me, to just let me know that that was the Lord reaching out to me. And so one of the things that I did when I first came back to the Lord that my worship pastor encouraged me to do was to sing my prayers. Oh. And so I would, I was just learning the guitar at the time. I was probably in my, you know, late 20s. And I took that to heart. And so I would put my boys down to bed. They were little, you know, and I'd put them for their afternoon nap. Mm-hmm. And I would just start, I would sit on my bed with my guitar and just start singing my prayers to the Lord. And he met me in that time, you know, and just, he started speaking back to me and I would hear him and I would just, you know, cry and all of my stuff would come out, you know, just realizing just all the hurt and the pain and the, you know, whatever. And he would just, he just love me, you know, just so intimately and just so, and so through that process, I think going through it myself, I'm hungry for other people to realize that God is so present. He's so close, but we have to draw near to him in order for him to draw near to us. You know,
I like love it says, what you just said, that as you had dreams and you had people to show you how to translate that into, you know, practical things, because many times we can read the scriptures and we can hear the word of God and we can get teachings, but then how do we apply it? How does it become real? So I like what you said, that your worship leader taught you to sing your prayers. So if someone's listening and you're thinking, well, I don't know, how do I pray? How do I talk to God? It's very easy. That's what Susan's telling us. Just sing your heart. Tell God what's on your heart, whether through singing, whether through writing it out, just tell God about it.
Just start talking to him. You know that Brendan Lake song, Talking to Jesus. I love that song. Cause it's just
that's
like,
a great song, by the way.
Yeah, you just start. It doesn't have to sound pretty, like he says, you know, in the song. Just start talking to him. Just tell him whatever, like you're his child, because we are. Yes. You know, like, and so yeah. It's a wonderful, lovely experience.
Okay, so I know that you've gotten into this a little bit, but can you just, for our listeners who maybe, you know, are not sure what that looks like, what does intimacy with God look like for you on a practical level?
Yeah, so I think we've touched on it and you said it too, right? Yeah. We can sing, we can journal. That's something that I love to do. It's just being able to open my heart to the Lord. And sometimes I'm struggling with something and I don't even realize what it is. Like, I'm just like, oh, I'm a mess of emotion and I don't even know what I'm feeling, you know, why am I feeling this way? And I need to be able to write it and journal and just get my feelings out there, you know, and then being able to read back and see it. You know, and then often, like even in the process of journaling, I'll hear the Lord speak something back to me as I'm praying. And I'll even say like, I'll start out the journal entry as Abba Father, or dear faithful one, you know, or whatever. Like, I'm writing the journal as a prayer to him. And so that's a huge one. I still love singing my prayers. Whenever I really want to be with God, that's where it happens. And so I just get in my room, I close the door, wherever I can get, you know, away from my family or whatever. Or often, like, I'll get the house to myself sometimes, and I'm like, oh Lord, you set up my day so I can be with you. Because that doesn't happen often.
I can imagine that.
Yes. Yeah. So just being able to just sing and hear him and be with him, and also imagination. I mean, I know this can be kind of, I don't know, sometimes when I share this with people, I think they don't quite understand, or I don't know, but I know you do. Yeah. Just being able to use your imagination to be with the Lord, you know, and see, and there's places that he'll take me, you know, based on a dream or other things, like the river. I love that image of the river, and that's in the Psalms, you know, Psalm 23, he leads me beside peaceful streams, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, like, okay, Lord, if you're leading me there, I know what a river looks like. I can see that in my head, and I can see being with you, you know, in that space. And, and just being able to just be with him one-on-one like that is just amazing. It's just so, so powerful and so intimate. And just hearing the voice of God speak to you, it's just like giving you what you need, you know?
Yeah. So for me, I hear what you're saying about the imagination. When I want to do that, I close my eyes and I just picture. So maybe there's a verse that I'm meditating on. I can just close my eyes and picture that. The Lord's my shepherd. What does a shepherd look like?
Yes.
What's the shepherd doing? What's that field look like? And in my imagination, I can go there and just be present with the Father. So thank you for sharing some of those practical ways that we can connect with God through singing our prayers, through journaling and listening, and just telling him what's on our heart and using our imagination. So take a verse and picture yourself being in that, put yourself in that verse and picture yourself in there. While we've talked a lot about intimacy with God and knowing God, but we do know that life's not without challenges, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So what have been your greatest battles in life?
Yeah, so my biggest battle, I think, was overcoming fear. I wrote about a big one. That so many of us struggle with. And it's just so, it's so crazy because we don't talk a lot about it. And there's not really, like, I don't know, like, where do you go? Where, if you struggle with anxiety or just like tormenting kinds of fears, and it's like, how do you get help for that? You know, but it, in the word tope, like the word of God is so powerful. Yes. And he talks about fear all the time, you know, in the word. And there's so many verses that we can use. But
by
really,
the way,
that is
one verse of fear for every day.
Speak
something.
Oh, that's so good. Yeah. You know, and he had me one time look up what that meant. Like when he says, do not fear, because he says that all the time in the scriptures, right? He says, do not fear, do not fear. But I remember one time, like, Lord, how can I not fear? Like, fear is an emotion. Like, how do I, you know, like, I'm feeling this emotion. Like, how do I not fear? What are you really telling me, you know, when you're saying don't fear? And so he had me look that up, that the Hebrew word that means fear, and it doesn't mean the emotion of fear necessarily. It just means don't run away because of fear, you know? So what God is really saying, he's not saying don't not feel the emotion of fear. He's saying, just don't run away because of fear. You know, don't let fear make you run away. And so just through that process of using the scripture and just really praying in tongues, that was another huge thing that helped me in my journey, my journey of breaking free of fear. And I mean, if you read my books, you'll see, like, it was a tormenting, like, a spirit of fear that I know was just attached, you know, And I would be able to tell you where it was in the room and how it was, you know, it was just really like, that's the verse. The sovereign Lord has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind, right? So that spirit of fear is real, you know, and it's an actual, for me, it was an actual spirit that was just with me all the time. But the Lord showed me that through his word, it's perfect love that casts out fear.
Yes.
Right. So I had to just really understand the love of God. Like he started just pouring out his love on me and showing me what real love was and how he could love me and be with me and everything and in every way. Choose love instead of fear, right? Don't run away. Choose love. Choose to love. Love on purpose, you know, and all of those things. And then eventually, like it just, it just broke me free, you know. And wow, I could go on. There's so much, about that journey. But
that's really interesting. So, what did so you mentioned you had this overwhelming fear, this spirit of fear. And that the Lord showed you how to love. So for someone who's thinking, well, what does that look like?
Yeah.
You know, what does that practically, what does that look like? What did that entail for you?
Yeah. Okay. So one of the huge things and ways that the Lord helped me in this was through my son, actually one of my sons. And you know him, Dakota.
Yes.
He played bass at our church for years with us. Yes. He's in college now. But so the Lord gave me a dream and showed me that the spirit of fear, and I saw it in my dream as a little child, like a little, and it was trying to follow my son Dakota around. Mm-hmm. And so in that dream, I realized, oh my gosh, like you can mess with me, but you're not messing with my child, right? Like Mama Bear came out. And I was like, okay, Lord, for real, how do we do this? How do we break this dream? You know, like I'm not playing around anymore, you know? And so my son, like people would call it night terrors, you know, that he would just wake up in the middle of the night screaming and just with such terror and such fear. And so how I would respond to that in the early days was how my parents did for me, you know, just, oh, it's nothing, just go back to sleep, you know, and that was out of fear because I was afraid. Like when he'd wake up like that, I was petrified, you know. And so I'm just like, just get away, like go back to bed, just, you know, do that. But then understanding, like the Lord said, no, love, it's perfect love that casts out fear. So then I would start changing that behavior and say, okay, come here, Dakota, come in bed with me. He was three or, you know, 2 or 3 years old. And we would open the scriptures together and we would read and, you know, we would pray together and I would just love him and just choosing to love on purpose instead of acting in fear.
Hmm.
You know, and so practically that just bringing him up and wrapping my arms around him and just holding him and praying with him and just, you know, and I would pray in tongues and sometimes some nights he would get the interpretation of the tongue. He was 2 and 3 years old, like, you know, wow. Like there is no junior Holy Spirit. I love that saying.
I love that. There is no junior Holy Spirit.
That's right. And he's with all of us, you know, and we'd have such amazing times. And Psalm 3 was one of the huge ones that we would pray over and over and over again, you know, together. And we would just pray it and he would memorize it and I'd memorize it. And through those nights, through those process, that spirit of fear was broken, you know, because we chose to love instead of fear. And so then I would take it as an opportunity. Okay, whenever he's afraid, whenever I'm afraid, whenever we're feeling that fear, it's because the spirit of fear is there and it's afraid. And what is it afraid of? It's afraid of love because perfect love casts out fear. Oh. And so when you love, it's like two magnets, you know, like when you love instead of fear, it's like that repelling magnet that like pushes it out, you know, and it has to go, it has to leave. And so being able to love, that's just such a practical thing that you can do. You know, when you feel afraid, I would sometimes worry that when my husband went to work, that he wouldn't come home. You know, that was a debilitating fear for me, like being it, like work in the morning, like feeling like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do if he doesn't come home, you know? And so I would just love him on purpose. And I would pray for him right before he leaves. And I would like, just like hold on to him and hug him and hold him and just be like, okay, Lord, he's in your hands, you know, but being able to love practically like that, that love has, is an action. It has such a, you know, active yes. way that we can do it. And so, yeah.
Wow, that is fascinating. Love. So love is the antidote. Love is the yes. key to getting yes. rid of that overwhelming fear. And I love how the Lord works, how he, you know, used your son's fears to help you overcome your fears. So if anyone listening and you're struggling with fear, Susan just shared with us that love, perfect yes. love, casts yes. out all fear. So thank you for sharing that. And wow, what are some of your greatest victories?
Ooh, yeah, I think I take so much victory every time I get up to lead worship because fear was such a stronghold for me. When I started to lead worship, I was petrified. Like for days on end beforehand, my stomach, and I'd be sick, and I'd just be so full of nerves and just, you know, scared to death. And so I always remember that every time I get up to lead worship, that this is an act of almost rebellion against that fear.
Right? I love that. Act of rebellion against fear. Yeah. That's what leads to victory.
Yes. And I just had to do it, just had to push through, you know, just had to, and I don't feel nervous anymore. Thank you, Lord. But, you know, just being able to do it and push through, do it afraid. I always tell people that, you know, whatever it is that God's asking you to do, even though you're afraid, just do it anyway, do it afraid. You know, it's okay if you feel afraid, but the more you do it, the more that you stand up in the face of that, it will back down, you know? And so I love like just being able to worship the Lord because that's my intimacy with him. That's my secret place, you know, is in worship and being able to just display that because there's more watching than just whoever's in the room.
Yes.
You know, there's a spirit realm that I think we don't even realize sometimes, and they're watching, you know, and being able to stand up in the face of whatever is going on, you know, and just sing his praise and worship him and declare that he is good and he is the way and he's life and all of that. It's just such a joy for me. I just love it so much. So yeah, to answer the question, that's one of my biggest victories.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that. I mean, I see you in action. I get the privilege of having you lead worship at our church on Sundays. And so I get the privilege of just seeing you in action. And so thankful that you shared that the only way through to overcome that fear is through.
Yeah.
Because on the other side, you have that victory. And Amen. So just stand up to that fear, get up and just do it. Be obedient to the Lord. And on the other side, you have that victory. You have that joy. I wish our listeners could see the joy that is radiating from you right now. I really do.
Yeah. The joy of the Lord is our strength. I quote that daily.
Yeah. The joy of the Lord is our strength.
Amen.
So, Susan, what spiritual disciplines have you adopted that help you in your walk with the Lord?
Yeah. So like we mentioned, I think the gift of tongues is a huge, huge one. Mm-hmm. And just times with the Lord, like there's a verse in Isaiah, I think it's 26:3. That really just went early on was one of those. So, oh yeah. Okay. So memorizing scripture, that's a discipline.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So Isaiah 26:3 says that he will keep in perfect peace all whose thoughts are fixed on him and all whose trust is in him, you know? And so that is one of those things that I'm just really like trying to train my mind to stay fixed on the Lord, because what we get is peace, you know? And so I guess like there's a theme here, right? It's this peace of the Lord that is available to us. Because I think for me, it's such a huge thing, because I know the opposite is fear. It's torment, right? There's no peace when you're afraid.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely. There's no peace.
Oh, there's no peace. Yes. Yes. It just tracks you down. It hounds you. It's just terrible, right? But the peace of God that's available in his presence and in his love is just, there's nothing like it. And so just being able to have the verses and memorize scripture and then practice that, you know, and like I was saying about the gift of tongues, like being able to just have that and just go about my day. I'm washing dishes. I'm, you know, driving in my car. I'm, you know, whatever I'm doing through my day, cleaning bathrooms and cleaning up after children and, you know, all that stuff of just trying to really focus on him with the verses, with, you know, worship, with the gift of, that he gives us, the spiritual gifts that he gives us. And just, yeah, those are huge. And
fixing your thoughts on God. Isaiah 26 verse 3 is one of my favorite, all-time favorite in the scriptures.
Yeah.
He will keep in perfect peace all whose minds are stayed on him. And that's so if our minds, our thoughts are fixed on him,
yeah,
the reward is that we get his peace.
Amen.
I love that.
And it's true, right? I always say the word works if we work the word. Like it takes some work. We need to really
get
it. And it's okay if you have a bad day and you blow it. Just try again. Really, listeners, just try again tomorrow. You get new tips tomorrow.
So you mentioned one of the biggest things that a lot of people struggle with, and that's fear. Is there something else that you think people are struggling with this day that you might want to address?
Yeah, I think distraction, mm-hmm. right, is such a big thing in our day. We have screens 24/7 in our pockets and in our purses and, you know, just all of that. And so I find even for me, like even that wasn't a thing that I grew up with. In our generation, we didn't have that, right? Yes. we were blessedly free of screens. Yes. But even now that it's all available, I think even for myself, I have to constantly fight back on that temptation to just, you know, be on my phone all the time or be, you know, just be distracted. And so I think that's something in our day that more and more we're going to need to learn how to fight against, you know, because we really need that quiet time with the Lord. Just, you know, whatever that looks like for you, go outside for a walk or, you know, just somehow get away from all of the distraction, you know, just close it all down, shut it all off, you know, and just be quiet before the Lord and give him time to speak and meditate and all of that. And so I think in my present day, that is something that I'm constantly battling, you know, just that being distracted and just unplugging and bending.
So what I hear you say is that one area besides fear that people struggle with today is distraction. Why is it a problem? It's a problem because it keeps us from spending time, quality time with the Lord, because we're distracted. And so, we didn't have screens growing up. There are benefits to it, but I think it makes us more intentional, that we have to be more intentional to put down the screen and create time with the Lord. Wow.
Yeah.
So, Susan, as we round up our conversation, this has been a fantastic conversation with you, and I'm so thankful to have this moment together. If our listeners could do one thing after listening to you today, what would you want them to do?
Oh, yeah. It's just really to spend time with the Lord. You know, there is no better friend. There's no better father. There is no better companion. And he is available to us all the time. You know, he's just always there. He's always, it's almost like he's waiting for us to, yeah. right? To just turn and be with him. When you read the Song of Solomon, right? And just that lover image of God that he wants that kind of relationship with us, that we would just be totally infatuated with him and just totally, you know, like even just a glance of, you know, from him or from us to him, like it just thrills his heart, you know? And so it's like we have this amazing being that we don't even understand, we can't even comprehend what God is, right? But he is there, the creator of the universe, and he wants a relationship with us. You know, that's kind of mind-blowing when you think about it. Yes. And so it's just to spend time with him. So whatever that looks like, you know, if you're going to connect with him in the word or through teaching or through worship, all of those things, through nature, through, you know, in whatever way that you feel connected with him. Just do that. Start praying. Like we said, just start talking to him, right? But the word of God is also a great place to start. It just, yeah. I love his word. It is so powerful and so deep. And there's so many resources out there. One of them that I've been doing this year is the Bible Project. I know I talk about this all the time, but I love those guys. They are doing it good, you know, and just so helpful to get that started, to understand the scripture even that we're reading and why we're reading and how to read it and all of that stuff. So
wow,
that's my advice.
Thank you, Susan. So listeners and friends, if you're listening to this podcast, Susan's suggesting and asking us to spend time in intimacy with God, develop a relationship with him, and whatever that looks like for you, whether it's reading the word, listening to teaching, worship, going out in nature, just connect with the Lord. I think that place of intimacy, that place of connecting with him is powerful. And some of those fears and struggles and challenges that we have, we begin to get a new perspective when we go to that place of intimacy with God. So again, thank you. Thank you, Susan, for sharing. So thank you again for coming.
Oh, thank you, Tope.
Sharing your story with us.
So thank you for
having me. Let me ask you this. How can the listeners connect with you?
Oh, yeah. My favorite mode is Facebook, probably. That's what I'm on the most. And so Susan Baez Ministries is my page. And you can send me a message or just scroll through there and see if you find anything good. Mm-hmm. I have lots of worship stuff up there. Or I also have a website. It's susanbaez.com. You can connect. I'm not as active on that. I don't update it as often as I do on Facebook. You know, Tope, time, right? It's so hard.
Yes, I know. Tell me about it. Yeah. So you can connect with Susan on Facebook. You can also connect with her on her website. And Susan has a couple of books. So she's an author of 4 books, and they're also available on Amazon. So there's Zimra, the Dream Singer, Zimra, the Dream Walker, Zimra, Dream Warrior, Zimra, and Commission. So you have 4 books on Amazon. So you can feel free to get a hold of one of those books and just be encouraged. So friends, thank you again for being here on Treasures and Truth with Tope. I hope our time today has inspired you to tap into your own treasures and to encourage you to seek intimacy with the Lord. We'll have show notes for you at hiddentreasuresandriches.com. And I would like to ask a special favor. If you like this podcast, please subscribe, share, leave a rating and a review so that this podcast can get noticed on Apple, Spotify, and other podcast channels. And I tell you, your reviews are a gift. And I really appreciate that. So thank you again. Thank you for being a part of this community. And remember that no matter what life throws at you, God has answers. So whether you have a relationship issues at home or work or any other crisis in life, God has answers. So we'll see you next time. And until then, God bless you and have a wonderful day.